As you know, we get our COVID cases from the CDC, and for the Tillamook County area, we have less than, 22.5 cases. 2 weeks ago, when we published our intention to either have a virtual meeting or a in-person meeting, that means that we are under the low or moderate level. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. On public comment, each speaker is called on by the chair by their name and provide their name and address. State your concern clearly and succinctly for the record. Each speaker will have 3 minutes of allotted time for initial remarks. At this time, because of COVID restrictions or lack of them, folks can wear a mask if they want to at this meeting. If you don't have one, one will be provided. Next order of business is roll call. Cameron?
Here.
Sean Carlton?
Here.
Ann Price?
Here.
And I'm Tom Donahue, as the chair, and I am present also. Okay, the minutes of the December 13th, 2022 business meeting is item number 4. Were there any deletions or corrections that need to be made?
None.
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the minutes of the December 13th, 2022 Board of Directors business meeting.
I have a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Financial report, accounts payable for December 15th and December 31st, 2022 is number 5 item. Any comments about accounts payable?
No, I have a question. Talk to Chairman, yeah.
Hearing no comments, would someone make a motion, please?
I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for December 15th and December 31st, 2022.
I'll second. We have a motion, and who second?
I did.
Sean seconds, all right. We have a motion and a second on accounts payable. All those in favor of the motion signify by stating aye.
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 Aye. So it's unanimous. Motion carried. Item 5B, the fiscal year 22-23 general ledger. Are there any questions about it or comments? The only comment I'd like to make is it appears on most items we are well under budget.
Time to start spending money.
Looks like we're doing well.
All right, item 6, manager's report. John, you have the floor.
Thank you, Tom. A couple of things I wanted to mention. Talked a little bit at our last meeting about our status with our water rights. Both things are progressing. Two separate issues, one to partially perfect, or in other words, certify a portion of our existing water permit that we can demonstrate beneficial use for. The other is to extend our existing permit for the remainder. We are planning to conduct a test, hopefully sometime this month. We've got plenty of time, but we'd like to get it going. We need to run the treatment plant at full capacity for this official test. It'll need to run, it doesn't have to run continually, but we'll need to run for a total of 4 hours during an 8-hour period. We'll be recording pressures and flow meter readings every hour during the course of the test. The purpose of this test is to verify what the plant runs at, which is the plant's capacity, and that will be the determining factor in terms of exactly how much of our existing water permit that we can certify at this time. And when we do it is at our discretion. It doesn't even need to be supervised, but we have some forms and we have to document flow meter readings and such throughout the course of the test. But we're hoping to get that done this month.
We've run our since the plant has gone into operation, we've done something similar to that.
We have.
So then it has no bugs, no issues.
No, I don't think there'll be any issues. What we'll probably do is try to arrange to have our reservoirs at the lower levels before we start the test, just to be sure we've got plenty of capacity that won't force us to abandon the test or do anything else, because once the reservoirs get full, we don't want to overfill them. That would illegitimize the test, let's put it that way. So that's what we'll do in preparation. But just historically, I don't see any problem with that. This is something we would like to do in the wintertime versus summertime, just to be sure that demands are cooperating with our efforts to do this. Also wanted to mention that although it's not on the agenda for this month's meeting, I anticipate it will be in February's meeting. Doug Olson with the Nestucca Valley Chamber of Commerce came in and paid me a visit, mainly just to give an update. They're still pulling in some specifics. He would like to be on the agenda for our February meeting, at which point in time he'll feel like he'll be ready to present something specific to the board. And I just wanted to mention that. I am now routinely attending the Chamber of Commerce meetings. I think it was Tom's idea that I do so, and I think it's a good one. I think it will allow me to meet some folks, just to reinforce our presence in the community and hopefully generate some interest and more interest in our activities through my contacts there. So,
John, I had a question back to the Doug Olson item.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be his intention to give us something in writing that will be included in the board packet for our consideration, or will he make the whole presentation during the meeting?
Well, I don't know for sure. I think the intent is to give us some kind of proposal in writing. It sounds like...
Whether prior to the meeting or at the meeting.
Whether prior to the meeting or at the meeting. I think he understands that for the board to act on anything, we need to have something. He's fully intending to provide that. It sounds like they're running into about a $12,000 shortfall to get the types of systems they're looking for. They won't come to us with any request of that amount. They believe they can make up that the Kiwanda Center and the Chamber can make up at least half of that. And he feels like, you know, whether the board decides that this is something we can do or not, he feels like they're going to find a way to get it done anyway. But it sounds like they're roughly looking for about what he had mentioned prior. So
my concern is the expectation for the timing of our decision on anything that's presented. And so I would, if the first thing we see is at the meeting, I'm guessing that we may or may not be in a position to make a decision on it at that meeting, and we might delay the decision to the following meeting.
Okay. And Tom, maybe between you and me, we can reach out to Doug and see what he can get us ahead of the meeting.
Yeah.
To give people time to review it and increase the odds of the board being able to make some sort of decision at the next board meeting.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Ann had brought up the concern about owner of it's donating that money. Where is the where are we as far as that kind of?
Well, we cannot donate funds because we deal with public money.
Right, right.
So it's not legal for us to make a donation in the traditional sense. So if we decide to contribute, it would have to be from some budget item, budget line, that is appropriate. And it would depend on, for me, it depends on what the whole picture is. But that's why we kind of have to wait and see what the proposal is.
What they come up with?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, did you let Doug know about that?
I think Doug knows.
Doug understands that.
Oh, okay.
Doug knows. Yeah. Doug has apparently served on a lot of boards and stuff, and he's used to considerations like this. He feels as though if we can demonstrate some legitimate benefit to the utility, then it's something that we might be able to justify.
Wouldn't it be under an educational?
Think it might be dangerous to try to speculate what all the possibilities might be. And that's why I was curious about the timing of what he's going to request and exactly what it will be. So, and not knowing that, I don't really want to speculate myself on.
So is this going to be a possibility that we're going to do this again and we need to have a line item down the road?
Sounds like this is a one-time thing.
Okay. All right.
Again, we'll see what the proposal is.
All right.
But that'd be my guess, too.
Okay. Cool.
One of the things that I really wanted to report as part of the manager's report is that after numerous delays, took us nearly 6 months just to get the electrical panels because of supply chain shortages with various electronic components. I'm pleased to report that the lift station upgrades at Kiwanda and Straub were successfully completed. Rags are no longer a consideration for these lift stations.
Wow, really? Yay.
For those two.
We still got four more we need to do. And we're ramping up those efforts now, soliciting bids for those. And we're going to lump the next four together.
Oh.
We've got the dollars budgeted for that. I think it'll help to get these projects across the finish line faster. So we're very pleased.
We just keep the rags item on the manager's report for a couple of months? To see that it says zero?
Absolutely.
Well, the LL lift station is where most of them come from anyway.
I can definitely do that.
I want to demonstrate. It's such a big deal. It's really nice.
Well, we've let's put it this way. We've got a 2-year no clog guarantee on these pumps to begin with. So I think very soon after we get the rest of these done, this exercise of us counting rags and having to pull pumps will largely be behind us. We won't be doing it reactively. If we do it, it'll be just proactive maintenance.
Was the Kiwanda lift station the one that was just barely inside the floodplain?
It was.
And so did we just have to elevate the electrical up?
Caused another week delay in the project. Was we were surprised to discover that the Kiwanda lift station was in the floodplain, barely. But we had to get a surveyor out to do what's called a pre-elevation certificate that would identify the minimum level it had to be. And now that it's done, I got to get a surveyor back to do a post-elevation certificate to demonstrate that it actually was installed that way. Once that's done, that's the last hurdle in terms of the permitting process. But, you know, and I'm glad I know that now, because that will come into play on a couple other lift station upgrades down the road. So
Ella might not be in
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, and Ella's already been upgraded.
Oh,
we don't have rag problems with Ella.
Sweet.
We have rag problems with Madrona.
Oh, okay.
And so Ella's already been upgraded.
Okay, good.
Oh, with Madrona. Interesting.
Yeah.
So which one out of all the lift stations is our number one rag?
I think it's Madrona, and Kiwanda was a close second.
We should have a rag party.
Yeah. But we haven't had to pull a rag from Ella
since it was installed.
Since it was installed.
Yeah.
So.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
What does all this rags mean?
Yeah, good question.
Oh, well, rags are kind of a... an appealing term for wads of toilet paper and other things
baby
that get flushed down. Baby wipes,
diapers.
Things that get flushed into the collection system.
Where it says, do not flush.
Exactly. In those bathrooms where it says, do not flush. These are the things that people don't read that sign and send down the drain.
And they do have a tendency to clog pumps when they get there. But no more. We've got pumps that can handle that.
All right. First educational.
That's all for the manager's report.
I had a question for you. I see you mentioned in your report that you hired a consultant for water leaks.
Yes.
Are they going to be helping our staff in training with the new equipment, or is that completely separate?
Well, we are bringing the manufacturer in to give us some additional training on our equipment. This is somebody who will do leak detection for us with their own equipment. It's just a way for us to move forward with more speed. I think the situation's grown urgent enough that, it's frustrating just dealing with the amount of time we have to do it. We're doing these leak checks as we can. By the way, we did find a leak today using our equipment and our crew. We haven't repaired it yet. That'll come tomorrow.
Is that the little blue strip on our street?
What's that?
Is that the little blue?
No, this one was on Stevens. And we did find one, but this is somebody who does this for a living. He'll bring his own equipment in, and he'll cover a lot more ground in 4 days than we'll be able to in 4 months.
Yeah, that's what they do.
It's because that's what they do, and you know, we'll pay for it. But I think I feel pressured to deliver results and to get this problem figured out. And, you know, it's just another way to demonstrate that we're taking this seriously and we're going after
it. It's mind-blowing that that much, or if it is that much.
Well, and one thing I'll say, there's been speculation about the transmission main and the water line that runs under the road. Now, we did run a test on that.
Under the river?
Under the river, excuse me. We did run a test on that. It was an indirect test. We aren't going to be able to test this line using the conventional methods we are now. If you're listening for water, if we're going to test a pipeline that runs under the river, we're going to hear a lot of water. So what we did is we shut down Horn Creek for a day. And we're going to do a longer test, but we did it for a day. We went on the wells for that day, but one thing we did differently is we isolated that transmission line on the Redicop side of the river. And what we found is that the production from the wells was about the same as the production from Horn Creek the day before.
So that's not
which indicates that we don't have a problem on that particular line. I mean, it's an indirect method of trying to determine that, but
did that include under the river?
That would have included the pipeline under the river, yeah, because we had isolated it on what it would be the Well, the river runs funny
there.
The east side. The east side of the river on the Redicop side. And so we took that whole pipeline out of the equation, and we're still seeing the same production values from the wells that we saw from Horn Creek.
What are the odds that it's our monitoring devices?
Monitoring devices like what?
Like the water meters coming out of the wells or the...
Oh, well, I still suspect those. Me and Leonard have a bit of a disagreement about that. I still suspect that this is a combination problem. And as such, we are going to replace the water meters on our production, on all our production meters, the six wells and Horn Creek. But as I indicated in my report, the original intent was to replace these mechanical meters. These are propeller meters. A little propeller just turns faster when the water goes faster. Don't have a lot of long-term reliability, and it is a mechanical piece of equipment. A magnetic meter would be a better choice because there's no moving parts, and the accuracy is higher. The problem is with magnetic meters, there are engineering challenges that we're having trouble overcoming. You got to provide power to each of the meters. They almost have to be installed on like ductile iron pipe because they've got grounding rings that are meant to be sandwiched in between two flanges. And what we're finding is wanting to go in that direction with these challenges, it's taking too much time. I've been wanting to replace these for 4 months now, and I haven't been able to do it because we haven't been able to overcome these engineering challenges.
But what is the lifespan of the devices that you're talking about changing out? I mean, are they kind of past their expectations?
My experience with propeller meters as being a mechanical piece of equipment, they can break down, they can cease to function as accurately as they once did. There are, you can send these back and have the calibrations checked at the factory and do other things, but the cost is not high enough for me to want to go through all that right now. I would much rather, they're all old meters, they could probably stand to be replaced anyway. I want to rule out our production meters as any cause of this problem. Because,
so are we talking 10 years lifespan?
Oh yeah, I'd say 10 years. Oh yeah, I think you'll get. I mean, I've seen propeller meters that have been placed for longer than that.
No, the ones that we got in the ground, how old are they?
The ones in there now?
Yeah.
Older than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a blessing, really. I mean,
well,
we got a problem. But
and what are the size of the lines coming out of those?
Well, I believe there's 6-inch lines coming out of the wells. The benefit of doing this is we don't have to replace the spool. All we got to do is just replace the head with the propeller, and we can do that very fast. And we can have brand new meters that then we can see what they're reading, because if it's not our production meters, well then we have to assume we've got 1,400 consumption meters all under registering at the same time, which is likely not the issue.
Although that certainly our water losses seems to be more significant since we put in all those new meters.
Yeah, kind of coincidence there.
Well, yeah, sometimes I wonder about the ARI or the automatic meter read. I mean, are we losing something in translation with the signal? But every time we have gone and done and we've done this quite a bit lately, we've gone out and manually read meters in a section of town just for the purpose of comparing them to what we get, and we're seeing pretty good correlation.
So you're talking about a couple of $1,000 to replace a propeller meter at each of the wells?
Oh, we're probably talking about 10 or less. 10,000 or less?
For all of them?
For all of them?
Yeah, I think we just do that.
Yeah.
Because this is a huge concern.
Well, and I'm feeling the urgency to get to rule things out and to get things
done. Kind of check things off, you're right, you guys.
If I can check off those production meters as one of my variables, well, then it makes my job easier at this point.
And it's something, you know, down the road, how much time, you know, we've gotten our usage out of those devices. So,
yeah.
And it was probably on the list, but not right up on top.
Yeah.
In that same vein, did you were talking about the check valve on one of those. Did that get replaced?
We have not replaced that yet, but we've been isolating that well field from the system in the meantime.
Okay.
We were not running the wells.
Great, thank you.
But we are working to get that replaced. We've got to buy a couple more of those too. It is on our list to do. It's high on our list. We haven't got there yet, but we're mitigating that in the meantime.
And it's in the budget,
and
so we're fine.
And we're good. So.
All right.
Great.
Cool. Let's move on. You had anything else on your report, John? Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay, we'll move on to item 7, unfinished business. Our wastewater master plan. We're still on that, John.
Yes. Well, I'm gratified to say this probably going to be the last time we see it on the agenda.
What?
And it's been on the agenda, I think, since long before I came to work here. And,
yes.
And I'm pleased that we've got a final copy. Unlike the water master plan, this does not require state regulatory agency review and approval. So, we did get back to Parametrics with our comments. In looking at it, I think they addressed most of them. The ones they couldn't address were kind of the basis and things that were so embedded in the plan that it would have been hard to reverse course on. There were some concerns about the projections and how do you make the projections with the tourist populations we get. How do you make projections when we happen to be a part of the state where they don't make population projections? And we also wanted to make sure that we stayed true to what we did with the water master plan in terms of the underlying philosophy beneath the other plan. So I feel like Parametrics addressed our questions and concerns the best they could. There was not nearly as many of comments regarding this plan as we had with the original plan. And since we don't have any third-party review or approval needed, I think we can genuinely consider this to be our final, if the board's in agreement with that. And I had a conversation with Parametrics about that remaining SDC analysis piece, and they are working hard to get that to us by the end of the month. So we'll see if they can deliver. They have to rely on a third-party consultant for this. But
Which month?
Yeah, well,
I think that point's been made. So
yeah, but they understand our concerns and are working hard to push their consultant to get that analysis done for us. The good news is that analysis is much easier on the wastewater side than the water side. So that's all I had about the wastewater master plan.
I talked to John earlier on about the wastewater and water. It's time to start considering presenting these plans, these 20-year plans, to the public, and so they understand what we're doing, what kind of monies we're going to be needing in the next 20 years for both sides of our utility. And I was thinking a little discussion between the board here, about putting together a presentation with both plans this spring, like April or May. Do you think that's a good time to do that?
My feeling is yes, contingent upon getting that SDC plan, and depending on when that comes out. But yeah, I think a public meeting.
John told me that he's done a lot of PowerPoint presentation, so he's very adept at making these kinds of presentations to the public, so I'm going to depend on him. But do you have any, do you think April, May, or something?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to start looking into our budget, so what the heck?
Yeah. So I think that's a good idea, and we'll have to rent this room. I would do it on a, well, you know, a night. I don't think a weekend's a good idea, but it's kind of, what do you think? It'd be an off night. I don't want to make it a business meeting night.
No, but a weeknight, in evening, so anybody that works during the day can attend.
Okay, so I also like to see plenty of advertising in the Sun. Might even, so that the public are aware of it, that we want public discussion and public awareness. So possibly even giving a copy of each of each plan to the Sun folks so that they understand and they can write an article for us and keep people on the news of what's going on.
Well, I think getting the word out is going to be key, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
In addition to that, traditionally we had copies of both master plans that have been adopted, water and wastewater, on file at the library. And so in preparation for a meeting like that, if we can make sure that that happens,
I think they both ought to be on the
website.
Then
that can be in the meeting announcement and on the website as well. Yeah. But of course, there are a lot of people that use the website.
Does our water plan need to be involved in that also?
Our water conservation plan?
Yeah.
We might as well bring it up at the same time.
Well, we can. We'll want to be careful not to try to lump too much in a single meeting. You know, I think the conservation plan requires public cooperation and participation too.
I'd at least like to see that on the website as well.
Okay.
All three should be there.
And maybe at the library as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And
make
it clear on the website and in these meetings that those materials are available in print at the library.
The more information we can provide for them. For having them printed for cost of printing only, if they want a hard copy.
For themselves,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I will, having been to a couple of these types of meetings over the years, I will caution as we think about the agenda that we not include too much, because this is very, very detailed information, and people will naturally gravitate to where it mentions their road, and the questions start to come, well, about this road or about that road, and it's very easy to lose sight in the large public meeting of the big picture of what we're trying to present.
I think we can keep questions to a minimum if we broadcast ahead of time that have your questions written out after you look at it, and then present it to John or staff, and try to eliminate a lot of the nitpicky questions like you described.
They're perfectly legitimate questions of interest to the individual, but a lot of times there's a more efficient way to handle the question than in a large public meeting.
When we hold a public meeting, let's just point that out. I was thinking like 20 or 30 slides is all we need for basically a half hour presentation, half hour, 40 minutes tops. Half hour's the best.
The other thing that we did,
start some questions and say we're going to close the meeting in a certain amount of time, and we're keeping your comments to 3 minutes.
And another thing that we did before was we had people from the engineering firm and here at the meeting as part of the question and presentation with John's engineering background. It doesn't seem on one level quite as essential, but with John's expertise.
Good point.
On the other hand, I think it does help to have some input from outside the community in terms of the audience's sort of the credibility that they put into to what is being said. And And if you have two people basically saying the same thing, one local understanding the details, one outside person that has that professional training, I think it tends to provide a more thorough answer, but it also tends, I think, to put people's mind at ease a little more.
That's a good point, John.
That's a psychological thing.
When you get your presentation made, I suggest you coordinate with someone at Parametrics, see if they can come to the meeting.
Oh, I think that could be easily done.
So they know what your presentation is, and they can work off of your ideas.
You can just coordinate the
presentation. Sure. We'll keep one thing, other thing in mind, too, is that I'm hoping to have, I've committed to having a meeting to answer questions from the folks that live along Rupel.
Yes,
that's what I was going to bring up.
I think that is a meeting we'll have a full room for.
I think so too.
I think so too.
What I'd kind of like to see maybe on the, because we are going to be starting that Rupel project, to go through a list of projects that we are going to be heading toward. So maybe that might curve some of the questions as far as my street or...
Well, that's part of the plan, isn't it?
Yeah. But to have that, definitely have that in the presentation.
Well, my hope would be that, a presentation about these master plans, if it does nothing else, it primarily informs the community about our challenges ahead, and some of them are going to be financial, and that we're going to have to do another go bond or other types of things to achieve some of these goals, and we're going to need public support for that.
Now, I think we've been pretty lucky as far as getting things done. Skating by, we haven't had a big major blowout.
No.
Yet.
No.
Questions.
But I assume that would be, hopefully part of the purpose of a meeting like this is just to let people know the upgrades, the things that need to happen to their system. I think that would be part of kind of our purpose for having some of these meetings.
Yes.
Okay, well let's move on to the next item under unfinished business, accessory dwelling units.
I don't really have anything to add here. I believe that once this is amendment to the county ordinance is made, and I believe that it's scheduled to go before the commissioners at the end of this month. Once that's done, I feel like I feel a couple things. One, we'll have some of the enforcement provisions that we desire that will not have to be provided by us, but more so by the county. But then I think it'll only help to legitimize whatever internal policies that we have regarding these types of units in terms of whether we require an additional service line, how much will an SDC for an ADU cost. I know we have an ordinance for that. I think it's worth reviewing that ordinance once we are sure that the county has approved this, and we can take a more objective look at how we're going to handle this within our own business doings, so to speak.
When is the county's fifth proposal supposed to be finished?
Or end of the month.
End of this month, so yeah. By next board meeting,
we'll know what's up
in a directional. Right.
Yeah, we'll know by the next board meeting whether it has become county legal ordinance or not. It's going to help. It's going to help, but at the same time, it's also going to encourage more of these. So, it could be a kind of a double-edged sword here. So, but I think overall, it's at least we don't feel like we're out here on an island all by ourselves having to deal with this issue. So
good. All right. Item 7C. Our financial relief provisions for customer water leaks. that we discussed last month, and you've rewritten that resolution, which is, what is it?
2301.
So we have to, this is an action item, correct?
Yes.
Okay. have we all read it? Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve resolution number 23-01.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second to approve resolution number 2301. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That is a unanimous vote. All right. That's policy. And next item is new business, number 8. Need to appoint the director to fill the vacant board position, number 5. Kathy, how do you pronounce your last name?
Starosta.
Starosta? Okay. So, we've all read Kathy's resume and her accomplishments. And we'll open the discussion.
I had a motion.
Oh. Do you have any comments? Anybody have any comments?
Well, there was another gentleman that, Mr. Matt Williams, that I had contact. He's interested in the position, but he's pretty tied up as far as the board. Matt Williams, the other candidate, he has an issue as far as Tuesday nights. And I had told him, this is a temporary position, and that the position comes up for vote in May, so either way, that it would be kind of an inconvenience right now, but it's something we definitely look towards. Kathy's been on the couple committees, and so she's kind of familiar with some of our terminology. She'll have to pay fast catch up. So I'm in favor of looking for.
Maybe yeah. Matt would be interested in serving on the budget committee.
I think so. He looks like a numbers guy.
Well, ask him.
I have a question. And in all fairness to Kathy, are you aware that this position is up for re-election in only, five?
About 3 months.
And
On the May 16th.
On the May 16th, and does that change your perspective at all?
I didn't ask when the position expired, so I didn't know that, but it's fine.
The election for the permanent appointment is, the election is on May 16th, and the results are certified 27 days later, and the position is filled permanently. With a swearing in, I believe, on June. It would be the July business meeting but June 30th.
I'll point out, to get on the ballot, there is a form you get from the county clerk, and it doesn't cost anything, and I can't remember the name of it.
No, it's $10.
It's $10, yeah.
It's a candidate filing.
CL-190 or something.
Those become available for the May election on February 4th, and you have from February 4th until March 16th to file that form. That calendar is already on the internet on the county clerk's website.
Yeah.
So, but first things first, we're talking about filling.
In the past, we have received that application in our inbox when we needed to fill it out.
So, but to the point of today's meeting, we're talking about filling.
Is anybody else up in May? Tom?
Say what?
You're up for re-election?
Your term is
expired. Yeah, I have to be re-elected.
And that's a four-year term, both, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're all four-year terms,
yes.
All righty. Well, I'll entertain a motion about Kathy.
Any More comments?
No.
Okay. I will move that we appoint Kathy Staroska as the board member for position number 5 to complete the unexpired term.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The vote is unanimous. Welcome, Kathy.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're welcome. You can come sit over here now. There,
well, she does need to be sworn in.
Oh, okay.
And would we do that at the next meeting, or are you prepared to do it today? At the beginning of the next meeting, and then you will be official.
Oh, then you'll get all the wonderful stack.
Well, we do have some onboarding policies.
Absolutely.
So.
We do. And for a short-term position, we'll work with you to try to prioritize those. So, but thank you for your interest for stepping forward.
Absolutely. Glad to have you aboard.
I've been thinking about it for a long while. I just need to get my act together.
Well, there's these wastewater and water master plans we're talking about. Both of these basically shows the entire operation from stem to stern.
Yeah.
They're probably going to be your number one piece of information that you can figure out what's going on.
Number one and number two.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing if you haven't already, the copies of those can be sent to you pretty easily.
Absolutely. Okay, last thing on new business is to appoint a budget officer for fiscal year 23-24.
Ann? I move that we appoint John Wesley as our budget officer for 23-24 budget year.
We have a motion and a second to appoint John Wesley as our budget officer. We'll go ahead and vote on that. All those in favor of that, say aye.
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 Opposed? Well, John, you're our budget officer.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Did we have any guest questions or comments, John?
No, we did not.
Kathy, do you have any questions or comments?
Not yet, I guess.
All righty, next item is chairman director comments.
John, where are we as far as the property of the next to the sewer plant? We had discussed it a couple months ago about what our duties are.
The property.
Yeah,
well, I mean, the issues haven't gone away. Last time we talked about it, I think we decided that this was another topic that we should approach the public with, and how and when we do that we'll have to decide, but it is something that needs to be addressed, and we do have commitments that we need to either fulfill or decide what our alternatives are. If this is going to be something we need to go to the public with, I think we need to have an idea of what our purpose would be, whether it's to seek support for these unfinished projects, whether it's to seek additional financing for these additional projects. That's really where we're at, is we don't have the manpower at the utility to meet these obligations. We don't have the funds to meet them in terms of justifying these types of expenditures that may or normally be out of our normal mission.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This item is not on the agenda. It's a major issue. Could we put it on the agenda for next month? If we want to have a discussion, that's perfectly well and good. But My opinion is we should not be discussing this in any kind of detail without it being.
We need to start working on that. We kind of put it back. And probably, I don't know what next month, how busy we're going to be next month.
You can start on next month.
I think that would be better because this segment on the agenda is for chair director comments, not questions prompting other discussion. So I think we need to be true to the.
Well, I tend to
meeting rules. Like,
at this point, I like to see people speak their mind. But in this case, I think we can go ahead and agree to put it on the agenda. No problem.
Yeah.
Let's get that on.
Then we can have a.
We can tie this in with some other public meeting as far as.
I was thinking like the water conservation plan.
The Google project
to put together.
I mean, we're looking at maybe at a couple of meetings of the the other stuff. Maybe do a Rupo project in this,
and then
do the master plan and on another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Are there any other comments from the directors? All right, I hereby adjourn the meeting at 5:50.
Fabulous.